Our text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And actually, I preached this same text on May the 18th.
Okay.
So it might sound familiar to you, all right? But I wanted to put that out there so you wouldn't say, didn't we just hear that? But at that point, it was about, we were talking about shepherds and the shepherd protecting his sheep. And that's what was the text. Today we want to talk about, and it was about the pastors being the shepherds. Today I want to put the emphasis not on the pastors, but on you.
Yes.
Amen? And that we need to be faithful stewards,
yes,
of what God has entrusted to,
yes,
us. Amen?
Yes.
And he has entrusted to us his gospel message that we need to proclaim to the ends of the world.
Yes.
So we need to be faithful stewards of that message. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. You there, Mark? Okay. Let a man so account of us as of a minister of Christ and a steward of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man, woman, boy, or girl be found faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Mm-hmm. We ought to be faithful to this ministry. We ought to be faithful to this message that God has given to us to proclaim to the ends of the world. And when we're thinking about faithful stewards and faithful ministers of the gospel, we think of three different places. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which is the Great Commission. This is not just for the pastor, it is for every born again believer. It is not an option. It is a command. And it says, go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. See, it's a command. You, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. And the good thing about it, you ain't doing it by yourself. He promised to go with you.
Yes.
He promised to go with you. And when we think about this gospel message, we go to Acts 1, verses 6 to 8. This is after Jesus had already died and was buried and rose again, and he was seen by over 500 people at one time, and he's getting ready to ascend back to heaven, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says, when the disciples ask him the questions, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons. We know Christ is coming back. We don't know when. Which the Father has put in his own power. God knows when he's coming back. Amen? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Okay? He has promised to give you the power to proclaim this message.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're born again, if you're born of the Spirit, you have the power to proclaim the message.
Right.
The other place I I go when we're talking about proclaiming this gospel is 2 Timothy 2, 2 and 3. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. And he tells Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, women, boy, and girl, who shall be able to teach others also, that thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Amen? He has called you and have saved you that you may proclaim his message. It's just not my job to do it from here. This is incumbent upon all of us to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and how they can have a relationship with him. That Jesus came from glory and came down to earth to identify with us and died and was buried according to the scripture. And that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And not only do we have the power and the ability to do that, he lets us know it ain't going to be easy. He said endure hardship as a good soldier. As a good soldier. This ain't an easy thing to do. People going to tell you where to go and how fast to get there. People going to tell you're going to lose friendship because of your claim of Christ. Yes. You might even lose your job. Family members might disown you. Yes. But it's hardship with the gospel. But if we're going to be faithful stewards, we have to endure hardship. Yeah, we have to endure hardship. Paul endured hardship. Now let's turn to our text and read the text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. For ye yourself, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as it were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattery words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is our witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherish her children, and being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labors and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witness in God also, how holy and just and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charge every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who had called you unto his kingdom and glory. for this cause. We thank God without season, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brothers, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, or in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. They please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. So our gospel is for us to proclaim to a dying world.
Yes, yes.
And it's going to be hardship in doing it. They endured hardship. They wasn't, because it got tough, they didn't back away. They didn't throw in the towel. They didn't quit. Because somebody told them to get out of their face, they didn't quit. They kept proclaiming the gospel.
Yes, yes.
Paul was beaten, ran out of town every place he went. So if you're going to be a faithful steward, you're going to have to endure some hardship. Look at the hardship Paul experienced in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, verses 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Now go to verses 16 to 19. And it came to pass, as we went and prayed, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. There was this young lady there, and she was a soothsayer, and her master got great money because she could tell fortunes. She can tell the future. And she kept following Paul and Silas around and saying, these men are from the Most High God, and they bring the words of salvation unto you. And Paul got annoyed with it, although she was speaking true. But she was demon-possessed. And Paul said, commanded the demon to come out of her. And she lost the ability to tell the future. And her master got upset because he couldn't use her no more to get any money. Some people just want to use you for what they can get out of you. And when they can't get no more out of you, they wash their hands with you. I don't know if you know anybody like that. Matter of fact, that was some of you. Amen? But Christ has changed us. Christ has saved us. Amen? Look what it says. And the same follow Paul and Silas and Christ, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee to come in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of his gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they eventually put them in prison. You know the story. When Paul and Silas was in prison and they sung all night and the doors wide open, this bust open. And Paul is telling them, listen, look at verse 1 and 2. For he says, no, 1 and 2 of, there you go, thank you, sir. For ye yourself, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Okay? He said, look, we just got ran out of town, thrown in prison, beaten half to death, and you know all about it. And we still come to proclaim this gospel with much contention. And when they got to Thessalonica, there was still contention. And there was still people trying to run them. Matter of fact, they ran them out of town at Thessalonica. They wasn't there long before they were beaten and ran out of town. Go to Acts chapter 17. Verses 1 to 5. And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture, open and alleging that Christ must need have suffered and raised again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believe, and a cohort with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, great multitude, of the chief woman, not a few. Okay? But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the bastard sort and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So when they got to Thessalonica, it didn't ease up. But they were willing to still proclaim the gospel. And what I'm telling you, to proclaim this gospel, it ain't going to be easy. You're going to have to do it with contention. But it's well worth it. Paul said, our coming to you wasn't in vain. Yes, we got beaten. We got thrown in prison. We got ran out of town. But it wasn't in vain, because people came to Christ.
Yes.
People's lives were changed.
Yes.
Not for just time, but for all eternity. So if I got to take a couple of knots upside the head for a few people to get their eternity changed, so be it.
Yeah.
Right.
So be it.
And that's why Paul tells Timothy, endure hardship like a good soldier.
Yeah.
Listen, growing up in the city, I had some fights and got some knots on my head for much less.
Right.
Amen. So we have to endure hardship. This gospel message, listen, society that we live in now is contrary to it.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So they don't want to hear that. They want to hear, I can live my life any way I want to.
Yeah.
If it feels good to me, do it until I get enough. The motto is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
But no, our motto is live for Christ.
Yes.
For tomorrow we live.
Yes.
I'm in the land of the dying, trying to live for the land of the living.
Amen.
with new life, with new excitement and new zeal.
Yes.
With my Savior who gave his life for me. Amen?
Amen.
So not only is a faithful steward endure hardship, a faithful steward is committed to the gospel message.
That's right.
He's committed to the gospel message, regardless of the hardship he might face or she might face. Look what it says in verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanness, nor of gall, but as it was allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not pleasing men, but God, which tries our heart."
Yes.
So he says, you know our motives. Yeah. We didn't come proclaiming this gospel with no deceit. We wasn't tricking you, trying to get into your pocketbook.
Right.
We didn't proclaim this message trying to get something from you. Our motives is that you might have a true relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who created you.
Yes.
And the one who knows you and formed you in your mother's womb. That was our motives. You know, we didn't come with deceit or uncleanness, nor our God. But we were entrusted by God with this gospel. It is his message that we proclaim. It's not my own. All I can tell you is Christ died for you.
Yes.
And that he rose from the dead with all power in his hand. And that if you would believe in him, that you could have every eternal life.
Yes.
Right.
That he could make life worth living.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That he offers something that you could have without money or without price.
Right.
That's why Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, he says, oh, come, buy milk and honey with no cost and no money. It's free. He told the woman at the well, if you know who I was, you would ask me a drink. And I would give you a drink where you would never thirst again. I keep running after things. And we keep running after things that never satisfy us. Amen? I don't know how many dresses my wife needs. Just one more. I know better. I like suits and I like shoes. So I know better. But do you need a bigger house? It ain't but two of you. Do you really need 5 bedrooms? Do you have to have a car every 2 years? Amen. But we're never satisfied. This world don't give you anything that's satisfied. That only comes through Christ.
Amen.
He has put a hole in our heart that only he could fill. That only he could feel. So their motive was always to please God and not man. And if you're going to be committed to this gospel, you're going to have to do something. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. You're going to have to study. Amen? You're going to have to get familiar with this book.
Yes.
You going to have to know what God has said unto you. Look what it says. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Not unto me, but unto God. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to know this Bible and cut it straight. And we got to tell people what thus saith the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's our only hope.
That's right.
And you ain't going to just get it on Sunday from Pastor Dave preaching. You're going to have to get into your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to fall down on you.
Yes.
And teach you, because he's the ultimate teacher.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And you do have pastors here that could guide you and help you. You do have not only pastors, but lay people that can guide you and help you along the way. That's why we got life groups. That's why we got small groups. That's why we do one-on-ones and group sessions.
Yes.
Because we want you to grow up to be evangelistic.
Yes.
That's our whole theme, is that you would be evangelistic. Amen. That you would be willing and motivated to proclaim the gospel of God. That's why Paul says it in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But you got to study.
Yep.
You can't put this under your pillow at night.
Right.
And think it's going to rub off on you. You got to open it.
Yes.
And you got to read it. And you got to study. And you got to learn how to cut it straight.
Yes.
Because if you're going to be evangelistic, people are going to ask you questions.
Yes.
If you're going to proclaim the gospel to your husband or to your spouse, to your children, they got questions. And it's incumbent upon you to find the answer.
That's right.
So Paul tells you, study. You got to study. And when you study, it's going to hit you first.
Yes.
And it's going to hurt.
Yes.
And some days, what you study ain't going to feel good.
That's right.
Amen? That's right. It ain't going to feel good. And you're going to say, I need to change. I need to change. Something needs to change. But I got to proclaim this word when it feels good and when it don't feel good.
Right.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter. Turn a couple of pages to chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And this is Paul still talking to Timothy. And he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, which is the living and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. And he says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. When it's popular, when it's not popular. When it feels good, when it hurts. Preach it. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering. Listen, we got to preach this to people, and you got to be patient with them. With long suffering, with doctrine. For the time will come, and has already come. When they will not endure sound teaching, sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, yeah, it's good to hear the message that tells you, you know, things are going to get better. We all want that hope, that it's going to get better in the by and by. But we living right now, and things might get tight. But God said, I'm with you in the hard time. He said, I'm the fourth man in the fire.
Yeah.
Right. Amen?
Amen.
He says, but people want to hear with itching ears. They shall turn away from the truth and shall turn to feebles. They'd rather hear a message that makes them feel good than hear the truth that we all messed up from the pulpit to the door.
Amen.
All of us are like sheep. We've all gone astray. Yes. We've all turned away. And God has laid the iniquity of us all on Christ Jesus.
Yes, that's right.
Praise his name.
So we got to study. That's the only way you're going to preach this word in season and out season. Listen. And you could study all your life. And this word is inexhaustible. And you will never know it all. But you keep going at it.
Yes.
But one day when you see him face to face, you would know it. And all I want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Just a few things. That's all. Because I know I haven't been faithful over everything. Look, I can make that assessment on my own. And so can you. But I want to hear him say, you've been faithful over a few things.
Yes.
You were faithful as proclaiming the gospel of Christ. You were faithful and consistent as trying to change your life day in and day out.
Yes.
So he says, God is our motives. God is our witness. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think we're at verse 5 and 6. For neither at any time did we use flattery words.
Right.
Listen. Again, we ain't up here trying to deceive you. We ain't up here using $5 words. Every time we turn around, we're not trying to go to the Greek and the Hebrew. All right, we do it when it's helpful and it's needful. Now, Marquise, he just got out of a Greek class, so I'm glad he utilized that because I'm learning a few things. Amen? But not a Greek class, a Hebrew class. But the Greek is good, but we're not up here and trying to impress you with our knowledge. We up in here trying to impart truth of God's word, which is simple.
Yes, it is simple.
Which is simplistic.
Yes.
It's the educated, it's the wise people that makes the gospel. The gospel makes them simple.
Right.
Yes, yes.
He said we didn't come with flattery words. As you know, our cloak of covetousness, God is our witness.
Right.
You know it, and God knows our motives.
Right.
God knows your motives.
That's right.
We ain't up here trying to get into your pocket. Matter of fact, people at the BMA are impressed with this small church. Because we tie 10% of it to the BMA. For a church this size, they're impressed with what we give compared to other churches. And because of our distance from most of them. Listen. We ain't nobody here got no jets. We barely got cars. Amen?
There you go.
But you know our motives. And God knows our motives.
That's right.
God knows our motives. Verse 6. Nor of men sort we glory. Not of you, nor of others. when we might have been a burdensome as apostle of Christ. Listen, we matter of fact, we don't ask for, we don't take the glory, we don't take the credit.
That's right. No.
If we do anything, if we preach anything, it's Christ and Christ crucified. It's for him. I can do nothing without him. So we give him all the glory and all the credit. It all belongs to him. I am what I am by the grace of God.
His grace.
Yes.
He was the one who found me worthy to place me in the ministry. I disqualified myself. And you probably would have disqualified me if you knew all the sin in my life. But God was faithful. And God placed me. And he was the one who told me that he could use me. Listen, Paul, listen, most people disqualified Paul. When Paul first was converted, they said, oh, we know of him and all the stuff he did. Ananias said it. And Jesus said, don't worry, he will suffer much for my gospel. And Paul suffered. And you will suffer if you proclaim this gospel, to live this gospel life. Amen? So a faithful steward must endure hardship. A faithful steward must be committed to the gospel message. And a faithful steward must cultivate what God has entrusted to them. God placed all of us under his care. And he has entrusted others under our care. Pastor Dave's the under shepherd. So all of us are under his care. But you have some people under your care that you should be proclaiming the gospel to, that you ought to be witnessing to, that you ought to be discipling, that you ought to be maturing in Christ. And you need to cultivate them, and you need to be patient with them. And you need to give them what God has given you. And that's why you need to study, to show yourself. Because how can you mature others when you refuse to grow up? But God is calling all of us to grow up. Look at verse 7 and 8. He says, but we were gentle among you as a nurse cherishes her children. Listen, we were gentle. Listen, if we need to rebuke you or reprove you, we ought to do it in gentleness and in love. Not pointing our finger that you made a mistake, because I know what it's like to make mistakes. I know what it's like to hit my head up the same wall time in and time out. So I need to be gentle with people. I need to be forbearing one another. I need to be putting up with. So what? She's struggling in that area. So did I. But God was patient with me. I had some people that was patient with me and encouraged me to keep going. Don't throw in the towel. Don't surrender. It's worth the fight. I mean, my biggest fight ain't with those folks out there. My biggest fight is within me.
Yes.
That's my struggle. That I want to do some stuff that is contrary to this book. Some stuff that satisfies my taste buds for just a moment. Bible says Moses forsook the pleasure of sin for a moment to be identified with the people of God. See, listen, there's pleasure in sin for a moment. That's why you do it. You get some kind of pleasure, emotional, financial. Getting quiet in here.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. But we need to be, with those people under our care, we need to be gentle with them. And every time they fall, we need to come alongside them and grab them, embrace them, as a nursing mother would do her infant. And said, I'm with you, and I'll walk with you, and I'm going to help you through this, and I'm going to try to hold you accountable to it. But you got to do some work, and I'm willing to work with you.
Yes.
That's what John says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, my little children, I write to you that you sin not, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the world. See, he says, listen, I'm writing to you that you don't mess up. But when you do, go to Jesus. Matter of fact, if you come to me, we need to go to Jesus together. And this comes right after 1 John 1:9. It said, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So when you mess up, stop trying to hide. God already knows. Go to him. He's our advocate. We have the accuser of the brother, Satan, who's always accusing us.
Always.
And he knows our faults. And he's standing there and saying, look at him, God, he don't love you. She don't love you. She wouldn't do that. But I have an advocate with the Father. And all he says is, Lord, yeah, he messed up. He did that. But I paid for that.
Amen.
I paid for that. That substitutionary atonement. That I paid for his sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God.
Yes.
He took my sin that I might take his righteousness.
Yes. Wow.
What an exchange. What an exchange. Back to the text. So we need to be gentle, not harsh, with people we're discipling. Not harsh with them. Because they don't need that. Satan beats them up enough. The world beats them up enough. Matter of fact, every time I sin, my conscience beats me up. So I don't need you to add on top of that what I've already beaten myself up with. I need you to come alongside of me and tell you that Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
All to him I owe.
Yes.
Sin has left the crimson stain, but God has washed it white as snow.
Yes.
That's what I need you to do. Yes. I don't need you to be harsh.
Come on.
Verse 8. So being effectually desirous of you, we were willing to have impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls,
wow,
because you were dear to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen, we don't even just impart the gospel, but we give you our own souls. We let you into our lives and let you know we just as messed up as you are.
Yes. Yes.
That's what discipleship's about. It's about we all messed up and we all need to be accountable to each other.
Yes.
That I need you to walk this Christian life with me. And I'm committed to be here for you. In the good times and in the bad. That's why the Bible says we mourn with those who mourn. And we rejoice with those who rejoice. We're in this together. We're a family.
Come on. Come on now. That's right. Yes.
Regardless of our racial makeup, regardless of our socioeconomic status, regardless of our upbringing.
Right. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Listen, Pastor Dave Marquis got similar stories. Amen?
Yeah.
They came to Christ early.
Yeah.
Through godly parents and yeah, godly grandparents.
Yes.
I didn't come to Christ till I was mid-30s.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But God is faithful.
Yes,
amen?
Yes.
Amen? But I tell you what, he protected me during those years.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't let me go but so far.
Right.
Although I went far, too far.
Yeah.
He didn't let me go but so far. And he always made a way for me to escape.
Amen.
He always made a way for me to come back.
Yes.
Because he had something for me. And I believe and I'm confident that he has something for me still.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Here you are.
Amen.
So we give ourselves to others.
Yes.
Remember Moses and the children of Israel. And they would get on Moses' nerves.
Oh, yeah,
oh my goodness. Moses would have to plead with God,
yeah,
not to kill him and not to wipe him away.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, sometimes Moses said, won't you just get rid of him?
Yeah.
But look what Moses says in Numbers 11, verse 12. Talking about Israel because they kept going after other gods and other. He says, have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shalt say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father, beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swore to their fathers? In other words, God, why do you make me in charge of all these crazy people?
Right.
Why I got to be responsible for them? I didn't nurse them. I didn't form them in their mother's womb. You did that. Did yours. But God has placed some people under our care. And we need to care for them as Christ has cared for us. So a faithful steward cultivates what God has entrusted to him. You have any children? God has entrusted to you to bring them up in the admonition and knowledge of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
If you have an unbelieving spouse, God has entrusted you,
yes,
to witness to them.
Yes.
You have unbelieving neighbors and unbelieving co-workers, God has entrusted them to you. That you might reach out to them.
Yes.
That you might mature them. That you might grow them up. It ain't the pastor's job only. Because he can only do but so much. But you have relationship with those people on your job. You have relationships with those people that live in the same house as you. Faithful steward provides for those who are under his care. So not only do they grow them up and they mature them, they provide for them. Look what he says in verses 9 to 12. Look at verse 9. For ye remember, brother, our labors and travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. He said, Paul and Silas and Timothy, while they were in Thessalonica, they worked. They labored day and night. Paul, we know, was a tent maker. I don't know what Timothy and Silas was doing. Mm-hmm. Were they day laborers? Were they Paul's apprentice and working with Paul? But they worked and supported themselves that they wouldn't be a burden to the people. And matter of fact, whatever they gave, the people gave, it went to the suffering church in Jerusalem. Amen? So that's why we give to the BMA. That's why we give to missions. Because this gospel message has to go through all the world. That's why he said you would be my witness both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. So we don't take a collection that we live lavish lives. But the gospel message would go forth. Yes. So we work. It's not saying that we shouldn't pay your pastors. Yes, you should honor your pastors. They're worthy of their hire because they watch over your soul. But they're not to be a burden to you. We don't take 5 and 6 offerings. No. Next verse, Mark. For you are a witness, and God also, how holy and just and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you. They weren't perfect men, but they did their best to live a wholesome, holy life unto God. Amen? Nor are we perfect, but we strive to live a separated, sanctified life unto God because we realize that our life is not ours. We've been bought with a price. So we don't live our lives to please ourselves. We live our lives to please God. So you know how holy and just and unblameable we were. And if when we do make mistakes, we're willing to say, you know what? I was a little harsh with you. Can you forgive me? I'm sorry. I misstepped. I misspoke. Not that I don't have any blame, but I'm unblameable because I'm willing to admit my faults. We all have them. And when you're discipling people, you have to be real with them. And you have to let them into your lives. And you have to share your faults with them. That's how else are they going to know that this life is rough? Right. It requires something of you. Yes. That's why the songwriter said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. Right. This is a rough life. You thought it was rough out there in the streets. But now I got those people in the street that don't like me no more. And I got people in here that don't like me no more because I'm cutting it straight. I'm telling you what's in season and out of season. When it sounds good and when it doesn't. This is the word of God, and this is where it is. Let it fall where it may. I got to live with it, and so do you. And he ain't changing it for nobody. That's why they say the grass wither and the flower fades away, but the word of God abideth forever. It's his word. It's eternal. It ain't no changing. So we labor. So, and next verse. And you are a witness. Next verse. As you know how we exhort and comfort and charge every one of you as a father does his children. Listen, he says, listen, we encourage you. We comfort you. When things was wrong, when you messed up, we comfort you. We say, listen, it's all right. We've all messed up before. Get back on your bike and try it again. I'm right here with you. I'll push you a little farther this time. Just as a father tells his children, keep trying. Keep going. Ain't no time to give up. We don't quit when it get hard. We keep going. We don't run from a fight. Growing up in the projects, boy, you might have to run from a fight every now and then. My dad would lock the door on you. You're going to get out there and fight. You ain't running up in here. Because, listen, if you ran every day, you're going to run every day. So you might as well stand out there and get it in. But we did that so that you would walk worthy of God who called you unto his kingdom and his glory. Listen, we encourage you that you would walk worthy. God has called you to something greater. Something greater. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if this earthly body was dissolved, we have a building made not with hands, eternal in the heavens. Okay? It's always something greater that we're going to. This life that we live here is just but for a moment. God has called us to walk worthy of this kingdom he has called us into and his glory that we shall share with him. That don't you know that you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ?
Wow.
And God has called you to walk like it. Yep. You're royal. Act like it. Yeah. Was King, I want to call him Prince George, but what's the king's name? Charles. What's his son's? They say nobody knew. but they're royal. And it's incumbent upon them to act a certain way. You're royalty. And it's incumbent upon you to walk worthy of what God has called you to. This is tough. And none of us, we all got room to grow. We all got room to grow. So look, I know the leadership here. I don't mind giving up my evenings. My wife gets mad at me, but I'm out of the house just about every other night, every night. The week I do try to leave Friday and Saturday for her, but this gospel message that we proclaim is worth it. Right. That people may grow thereby. Yes. So I'm willing to give up my time that others might learn to walk to please God. Yes. Yes. Amen. Now, not only does it does something for them, it does something for me, because now I got to make sure I'm walking right if I ask them to walk right. 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 Amen? Yes. And it helps me because they got questions and I got to study to show myself approved. Because they'd be, wait, Pastor Quan, you said what? And I'm like, okay. And listen, and I don't know it all. But I got enough tools and enough people to ask some questions that I can come back with a reasonable answer. Amen? Yeah. Look at verse 11 and 12. So we encourage others to be examples also. So just as I'm an example to you, you ought to be an example to someone else. As you know how we exhort and comfort and charge every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and his glory. Verse 13, I'm sorry. Verse 13. And here's the thing. See, he said from the beginning that his coming to them wasn't in vain. Know why? Because they believed.
Yes.
They established the church under a hostile environment. And now they were examples to others.
Right.
So look what he says. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, yes, which effectually worketh in you that believe. So he said, you took the word for what it is, truth. And you start governing your life according to the word of God. And stop governing your life according to the dictates of your own lustful desires, which is so easy to do. Every sin either comes from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. James says, James 1:13 says, God doesn't tempt anyone with sin, neither can he be tempted by anyone. But everyone is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lustful desires. Listen, we all desire stuff that ain't good for us. Huh?
Yeah.
And we see something, we like aching. I seen it. I wanted it. So I took it. But they received the word with gladness, as it was divine and authoritative. They received the word of God. Next, verse 14. They were willing to suffer for the gospel in the face of persecution. Not only did they receive the word of God, they now are being persecuted for it. And I'm telling you, because of your stand on Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will lose some friendships. You might lose your job. Now, listen. People pay you to work, not to proclaim the gospel all day long.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
For ye brothers became followers of the church of God, which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffer things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews. He's saying, listen, your own family members, your own countrymen disown you now because you now became a follower of Christ. You no longer hang out with them. You no longer worship the idols they worship. Now you live to serve the risen Savior. Who both, just like the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Okay? So they didn't want them to proclaim this gospel to the Gentile. They wanted it, listen, and don't get mad at them because some days this is as far as you go with the gospel. Right here. Right here. You ain't going out there talking to nobody about Christ. You here on Sunday? That's the extent of your conversation. Must be true.
It is true. We're all ashamed.
But people ought to be saved in here. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. They need it out there. They need it on your job. They need it in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
They need it, those folks in your house.
Yeah.
You got the word of life. The word of truth.
Yes.
And you ought to proclaim it.
Yes.
And not hold it in here. This is, God says, into the uttermost parts of the world.
Yes.
Amen? Each one ought to find one and proclaim this gospel.
Yes.
Even under persecution.
Yes.
Even under persecution. When it's not good, when it's hard, when people are talking about you as a holy roller and you ought to proclaim it. And you might lose some friendship over that. You might lose some family members over your stand for Christ. But it's worth it.
It is.
To fulfill their sins always for the wrath to come to them to the uttermost.
Yeah.
Listen, God will judge us for what we do.
Yes.
Every word, every idle word, is going to judge us. And mostly he's going to judge us on what we did with his son, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world. Did you just keep it for you because you were afraid of what people would call you and think of you? Or you didn't want to suffer the persecution? But the Bible tells us that all who live godly will suffer persecution. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 3. 10 to 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. Yes, it was persecution, but the Lord delivered me. Then look what he says. yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live this godly life, it's part of the course. Persecution is part of the course. And there's a cross for you, and there's a cross for me. But Lord, I'm so glad that one day he touched me. And whatever persecution comes in my life is worth it.
Amen.
All because
yes.
he touched me.
Yes.
And my life has never been the same. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that filled my soul. Yes. Something happened along the way.
Yes.
And now. Because he touched me. Has he touched you and changed your life? Has he touched you and made you whole? Has he touched you? If he touched you, then you ought to proclaim it to the ends of the world. And if he hasn't touched you, he stands at the door now. And if anyone would let him in, he would come in and sup with you and live with you and help you. He said, come unto me, all that's laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. So you can come to him. Just as you are, and he will touch you, and you will never be the same. Thank you for your time.
Oh, bless you.
Bless you.